Well, we are gathered here today to celebrate thy high holy day, Feast of Trumpets, for 2015. And Mr. Dave Hall has certainly laid the foundation. He has really got us on track for what we should be doing, and I appreciate that, Mr. Hall, very, very much, what you have already had to say. This holy day depicts the time in the near future when Jesus Christ will return to this earth to set up the government of God. Now, the question is this: just when will that occur? Because as you look around, boy, what a mess this world is in. It's getting worse day by day, it seems. Well, that question has been asked many times over the past 2,000 years, and many well-meaning ministers have searched the Bible looking for the answer to that question for when Christ is going to return. And as they look through the Bible, they think they have found the answer, and they inform their members that the return of Jesus Christ is on a set day and time. We know, we've studied the Bible, and now we can put it all together, and we can say definitely for sure, this is when Christ is going to return. For example, under the leadership of the American Baptist preacher William Miller and his followers, initially known as Millerites, probably most of you who have studied a little bit of church history understand things about this group and their history, proclaimed that the second coming would occur between March the 21st, 1843, and March the 21st of 1844. Guess what? That prediction failed, obviously. Following this, a second date, October the 22nd, 1844, was set, and many Adventists disposed of their property, sold everything, getting ready for the return of Jesus Christ. It was vastly anticipated that Christ would return on that time. Well, guess what? Christ didn't return on that time of October the 22nd, 1844. Charles Russell, the first president of what is now called Watchtower Society of the Jehovah Witnesses, calculated 1874 to be the year of Christ's second coming. As with the Millerites, that day came and went without the return of Christ. Since there have been so many failed prophecies and predictions on the return of Christ, does that mean then that, hey, well, there's no way on earth that we can even get into the ballpark of when Christ is going to return? Is that true? Maybe we should just bury our heads in the sand. You know, you've seen that old cartoon. The people don't want to think about something, so they bury their head in the sand. Well, the entire idea behind the Feast of Trumpets is about the return of Jesus Christ. So it'd certainly be appropriate for us to consider what the Bible has to say about the return of Jesus Christ on this here Feast of Trumpets that we are keeping here today. In this message today, I would like to examine some of the specific scriptures that gives us the time frame for the return of Jesus Christ to set up the government of God on this here earth in the very, very near future. Point number one is this: the return of Christ is imminent. Please turn with me to Daniel, the 9th chapter. Daniel, the 9th chapter. We're going to read verses 20 through 27. Now, this is an amazing prophecy that we find here in Daniel, the 9th chapter, because it gives us the specific time for the first coming of Christ, right down to the minute, the very day that Christ was going to return. That is documented in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 13. You can also compare John 1:41 and 4:25. It says the same thing. Everybody knew in ancient Israel that Christ was going to be coming back at that particular time. You know, when the New Testament history was being recorded. Everybody understood it because they knew of the prophecy by Daniel. Oh, they did not have the understanding of what is called the 70 weeks prophecy like we have today, because we're much closer to that end point. And I'm going to show you how close we are. The ancient Israelites did not understand Daniel 9 because with history acting as a 2020 hindsight, we can have a better perspective of these time frames and the fulfillment of the prophecy that would be over 2,000 years into the future from when the first coming of Christ was predicted in Daniel. Well, let's start reading about it here in Daniel. Now, this is a tough prophecy. Let me tell you, half of us here probably won't have the foggiest idea what I'm talking about by the time I get done. But at least you will be in the ballpark. Around the history, I mean, the Millerites, for example, they read this, but they misinterpreted it. They got it wrong, you see, because 1841, is Christ here? No, it's not. But let's start reading about this here 70 weeks prophecy, and I'm going to give you some pretty good points to consider and to think about, because some of it is already history. It's already occurred. Christ has already come the first time, and it is set in stone, and everybody understood it at that point in time. Whenever Daniel was actually informed about this prophecy, 580 years before it actually came to pass. He was told by Gabriel what was going to be going on, and everybody understood, and everybody was ready for it whenever Christ did come up. But anyway, let's read about this starting in Daniel, the 9th chapter, verse 20. This is Daniel speaking. It says, "Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, a man Gabriel." Now Gabriel here is one of the, they don't call them archangels in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, they do call them archangels, but basically he was one of the highest ranking angels in God's government in the spiritual realm. It says, continuing in verse 21, "whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand." Yeah, Daniel was definitely going to understand the first part of the prophecy that Gabriel was going to give to him. And he passed that information right along, and like I said, everybody understood at least the first part when Christ would return the first time. It's the second part that I want to focus on today. Verse 23, "at the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved." That's every one of us in this room here today. God is greatly looking down upon you, saying, "I love those people. You're doing something nobody else is doing. Look around. Do you see anybody else keeping the Feast of Trumpets anywhere here in Redlands? No, we're the only ones. You five or six people, you're the only ones left here to do it. For you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision." Okay, now here we have the vision, the 70 weeks prophecy. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, as you read this prophecy, most of you, when you just very first look at it, I remember 44 years ago when I very first looked at this, I said, "Wow, what in the world is he talking about here?" Maybe Daniel understands, but I certainly don't. Well, let's go into what and tear it apart analytically and see if we can come up with some conclusions here that God was trying to provide for Daniel regarding that first return of Christ. Now, the expression 70 weeks are determined there in verse 24, this implies both then a starting point and a specific end point. A period of 70 weeks must go from one point in time to another point in time. It says 70 weeks have been determined. This verse clearly links together the first coming of Jesus Christ and also the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, why do we say that? The expressions here in verse 24, to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Key verse to understand. Refer to the first coming of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came the first time in human form and was crucified on the cross, he made an end of sins by paying the penalty for the sins that we create. Remember, that sacrifice had not been made until Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. Key point to keep in mind. This is very, very simple whenever you tear each little part of the scripture and analyze it and see exactly what it is saying. And it says, thereby reconciling us to God the Father. Jesus Christ is our mediator now. He is the one that is the go-between between us and God the Father. And the reason being that he can be that mediator to whom all power and authority has been given to him by God the Father is because he came here as a human being. He lived his life right up to the time he started his ministry, and he was the one that was sacrificed. By his blood, we are washed clean of our sins. Now, you see, that's a very simple way we can understand that one little verse there. When you pull that out, that's easy to understand, isn't it? No problem at all. But the expression to bring in everlasting righteousness, did Christ on his first appearance here on this earth, did he bring in everlasting righteousness? I don't think so. This refers to his second coming, not the first. He did not come to bring in everlasting righteousness the first time. That's going to be done on the second time whenever he is going to set up the kingdom of God and everybody will do things God's way. We are going to be following God's law, and that's righteous. That's what we will be doing. We will be following the things that the government of God so dictates here upon this earth. And guess what? All of us will be there to inform, to help, to educate, and to show everybody else the right way to live their life. We will help bring in everlasting righteousness. You know, as you look around, as I was saying here earlier, here in Redlands, do you see people that are keeping the Feast of Trumpets like us? No, there's nobody else. How many people kept the Passover this year? How many people washed each other's feet as part of that Passover service? How many put leavened products out of their home, which is symbolic of taking leaven, which is symbolically sin, out of our lives for 7 days during the days of unleavened bread? And as we can look around, we don't see people keeping the weekly Sabbath or following the clean and unclean food laws. I like to watch cooking programs. I'm a chemist. One of my degrees is in biochemistry, and so I like to play with things, you know, and mix things up and get in there in the kitchen and get flour all over the place or something. I don't know. And so I watch these programs, and you can pick up some good hints on how to make good-tasting food. Now, I know Tammy, she's a cook. She knows all about that stuff. But me, I'm a gumball. I don't know about that stuff. And so I need education from somebody else. And I watch these guys, and sometimes it's great. Then other times they eat the most ridiculous things, things crawling across the floor. Yeah, that's not what God tells us to eat. But the thing is, That's all right. That's the way the world thinks. They think it's okay. You know, if you can get it down and it stays down, well, it must be okay. Well, that's nonsense. Some of these foods, they're God's scavenger animals for us to get rid of the things that are bad. And we're supposed to eat the things that are good. But anyway, that's what people around us to do. So we should expect this prophecy that we're just reading about here to provide us, one, a starting date for the 70 weeks, and a way of calculating to the first coming of Christ, a link from the first to the second coming of Christ, and the conclusion of the 70 weeks to be in some way linked to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The expressions to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity also tells us that this dating will lead us to the start of Christ's ministry. Not his birth. His ministry, when he started his work here on this earth. Now, the exact year the Messiah would appear, we can read about that here in verse 25. Let's start in verse 25 now. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince. Now here we can see that Messiah is capitalized and the Prince is capitalized. In the Hebrew, whenever the original Hebrew wants to have a capitalized word like that, that is always in reference to deity, not, you know, Joe Blow down the street here. He's a Messiah of Hootenanny's Bar or something. That's not the point. No, here we're talking about Christ himself. There shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. Now here, one of the little things that you need to keep in mind, the word translated weeks here literally in the Hebrew means sevens, sevens. So what we could mean then is the 7 day weeks, which is something that we can focus upon in the original Hebrew. It's talking about a prophetic period, this here, 70 years. And 70 years, of course, whenever we look at the weeks in the years, whenever it says that there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, when you add the two together, then we've got 69 weeks of seven. That's a key point to understand. Now, probably be a good idea. Let's turn over to Ezra. I don't want to take too much time. I could go on. We talked for about 3 hours on this, but I got other things I want to talk about. So maybe we'll just hit this very briefly. Let's go over to Ezra, the 7th chapter, because it's important to know when this prophecy starts. You got to have that in your mind. That's just all there is to it. Because once you have this in mind, then you'll be able to understand what is talking about. Ezra, the 7th, I'm in Nehemiah. Let me get over here. Here we go. In Ezra, the 7th chapter, we're going to read verses 11 through 26. This is talking about, and kind of keep your finger back there in Daniel, the 9th chapter, because I'm going to refer back to that and finish off that prophecy as it gets further down the road here. But the whole idea about this here, 70 weeks, and the 70 weeks is in reference to sort of like days. And if you then have multiply that out, it comes up. 7 plus 62 or 69 of these 7 day weeks, that comes up to a total of 483 years. Because remember what it says, the Bible tells us that in prophecy, one day can be equal to 1 year. And that's basically what this prophecy is all about. Remember, Gabriel told Daniel 580 years before the prophecy was fulfilled. And so this here, 483 years, or the 69 weeks, our periods of week, seven-day periods, that is in reference to the 483 years from the time that this going forth of the issue of people going back to rebuild in Jerusalem, from that time until the time of Christ's ministry, when he started it, would be 483 years. And this is just something you can put on the side in your notes here in Ezra, the 7th chapter, verse 11. This time frame right here is 457 B.C., before Christ, 457 B.C. And it's very obvious that this is the right time because we know very well when Christ started his ministry. That was in 27 A.D., so we can go back 483 years and we come to this time. Or, according to Daniel, he knew that this is what the time was going to be. And let's just start reading about here in verse 11, chapter 7. And this copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave Ezra, the priest, the scribe, expert in the words and commandments of the Lord and his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, to Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace and so forth. I issue decree that all those of the people of Israel and of the priests and the Levites in my realm who volunteer to go up to Jerusalem may go with you, Ezra. And there as you are as being sent by the king and his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem with regard to the law of God which is in your hands. That right there, everybody understood, was the start of the 70-week prophecy. It started then, 457 B.C., 457 years before Christ started his ministry. And that, and Christ started his ministry on 27 A.D. I think we all understand that one. Okay, let's all drop back now to Daniel, the ninth chapter. Now, we know when the start of the prophecy began, and everybody was anticipating that 483 years waiting for the first coming of Jesus Christ. And guess what? It was right on the nail. It hit the date right on the head, you know, exactly when Christ would start his time. Because if you count from 457 B.C., the date that the declaration went out by Artaxerxes, to the time when Christ started his ministry, which was in 27 A.D., that is exactly the 483 years. So here, then, gives us a very clear date. That's what everybody was looking for. Let's drop down to verse 26. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood. Till the end of the war, desolations are determined, and he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, now remember, this is the middle of the week. This is the 70th week. Remember, the 69 weeks led up to the start of Christ. Now here we have this here time frame of one more week of 7 days. And the 7 days, each day is representing a week. So here we now have a time frame of 7 years. And how long did Christ go with his ministry? 3.5 years. We got another 3.5 years to fulfill. But that time hasn't come yet. It is not here yet. We haven't been through it yet. That's what we're waiting on. It is important to note, I think, at this stage, that first part of this here 70-week prophecy, that's pretty well cut in stone. It's history. It's already occurred. We already know that it has occurred and what the story is on that. It's the second part. It's the other 3.5 years. That's when we don't know when it's going to start. And that is what we want to focus upon now in my time remaining. Why do I say that? Because the time in this prophecy leading up the 457 BC to 27 AD, that it was consecutive, year in, year out. There was no problem, no messes whatsoever with the consistency of the time frames. It was very clear. Everybody was counting. Everybody knew exactly what was going on. But then it says that after the death, there's going to be a continuation of the prophecy. And it said there shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood. To the end of the war, desolations are determined. This is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. And when did that occur? 70 A.D. Not at 27 A.D., whenever Christ started his ministry. So here then presents a problem. The prophecy, which was going year in by year in by year out, right on down the line, now there's a jump in the prophecy of 39 years going forward to 70 A.D. when it fulfills the prophecy about Jerusalem being destroyed, which it was. Now, why is that important then? Why are we so worried about that 39-year time period when there is now a jump in the prophecy? That brings us to point number two. Point number two is this. God has a 7,000-year plan for the human family. God has a 7,000-year plan for the human family. You see, that's why we're here today. If you're here keeping this Feast of Trumpets, then God will open our minds to the plan that he has for the human family to be members of the God family. And as we go through it, we can see how the plan all works together. Please turn with me to 2 Peter, the third chapter. 2 Peter, the third chapter. We're going to read verses 8 and 9. Now, if the prophecy in Daniel 9:27 jumps ahead by 39 years, then we can assume that the time for the return of Christ the second time can also be into the future. It can jump into the future because that's the way the prophecy is being fulfilled. Well, how can we make that assumption? Because it's been, and I'll tell you why, 2,000 years have gone by since the destruction of Jerusalem. 2,000 years. So obviously then we can go forward in time. Now, the kind of time frames that I'm talking about here, of course, are very long. I mean, thousands of years. When Daniel got it the first time, it was 2,500 years in the past. And now here we are, way down here in the future. So how do we know, how can we say, and not make the same mistakes that the Millerites made, saying, oh, well, you know, Christ is going to return in the next 50 years or something like that. Well, God has given us his plan. That's why we keep the holy days. The holy days describe God's plan. But that we got to understand how God can look at time. And we'll see that right here in 2 Peter, the third chapter. And let's start reading in verse 8. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This pattern that God has for us, that we can understand if you do keep the holy days, if God's Holy Spirit opens your mind so that you can see it, then you can understand about the plan that God has for the human family. Remember what it says in the first couple of chapters of Genesis? The week is 7 days. Well, God originally set time in motion. He gave man a week of 7 work days, followed by a day of rest. And that will be followed by this present ending of the age of human labor. That's the 6,000 years for human beings. And then we're going to have another 1,000 years of rest. And that is when God's kingdom is going to be set up here on this earth. We know from Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 4, that that day, that weekly day from that week of 7 days, is 1,000 years. And since the last day of God's allocated 7,000-year plan is 1,000 years, then the preceding 6 days referenced by that weekly Sabbath, that weekly time frame that God set back in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and also in reference to why the Feast of Tabernacles is 7 days long. Remember 2 weeks ago I asked you, I said, why is the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days long? Well, this is one of the reasons. And Mr. Brandon Miller came up with right off the bat, right off the top of his head, he had it. He nailed it because we're talking about a time frame where God is working out a plan to put more members into the God family, and he's doing it over a 7,000-year time frame. Now, he's already allocated 6,000 years for man to let us run things on our own. And then in the very last, he's going to say, okay, this last 1,000 years, now we're going to do things my way. We're going to start doing things the way they should be. Now, there have been many biblical scholars who have pieced together the Bible from Genesis 1 right up to the time of birth of the start of Christ's ministry. And it's easy to put it together. These guys are really sharp at that. And it was 4,000 years. 4,000 years from Genesis right down to the time whenever Christ came for the first time. Now, we're in reference then. We know that he's going to come a second time. So when would that time frame be? If we know that the first 4,000 years have already been taken care of, that was whenever Christ's ministry started in 27 AD, and we know that now nearly 2,000 years have transpired from that time to make up for the 6,000 years, then if you put it all together, you add 2,000 to 27 AD, whenever Christ started his ministry, that means then that probably the return of Christ will be on 2027. That's 2,000 years down the road. Now, I know that that is a very complex thing to put together and try to understand exactly all of these numbers and everything, because to go over this and to really understand, we'd have to spend the next week going through all the different prophecies to what it all means. I'm just sort of like giving you the very top layer. And if you don't understand it, don't feel bad about it, because it took me about 20 years before I understood it too. So we got to remember this. That nearly 6,000 years of recorded history has transpired. We're getting very, very close to the end of the 6,000 years. God's plan is 7,000 years long. That last 1,000 years is whenever God will be setting up the government of God here on this earth. And it starts by the blowing of trumpets that Mr. Hall was talking about, the Feast of Trumpets, and that's why we are here. So then, that means, if we've got that all straight and that's accurate, and I think it probably is, I see no reason why it shouldn't be, then we've got about 11 and a half years before the possible return of Christ. You say, oh, wow, you mean it's that short? Yeah, it could very well be just that short. Now, for some of us, you're going to be here to see that. Some of the rest of us may not be here because of our age. I can understand that too. But don't worry, we will see eventually all of these things coming to pass. Now, there is something that we need to consider. My last point here is, why does God do things this way? Why did the Millerites, why did they think that they really knew when Christ was returning? Why was it that the ancient Israelites, around 27 A.D., they knew that Christ was supposed to be there? And if you go over to Acts, the first chapter, they thought when Christ went back up into the heavens that he was going to be coming right back very shortly to set up the kingdom of God. But the thing is, it didn't occur. That's because they didn't understand the whole time frame of 6,000 years. And there's they don't understand, God opens up their mind so that they can understand up to a certain point, and there's a reason for that. And that's our last point, point number 3. God uses brinkmanship in the development of our Christian character. God uses brinkmanship in the development of our Christian character. Please turn with me to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew, the 24th chapter. We're going to read verses 32 through 34. I remember 44 years ago when my wife and I were first being called by God to be part of this end time work, that I said, man, we're going to have to hurry up and get baptized because Christ is going to be returning at any minute. Well, that was 44 years ago. So how in the world can I say that, you know, we've probably got about 11 and a half years, depending, before Christ returns? You're going to say, well, Larry, how in the world can you be so positive about that? What about this here brinkmanship that you're talking about? Maybe that's what God is doing with the church again today. Maybe Christ's return is another 1,000 years into the future. Not according to God's plan. But anyway, let's see what God has to say about brinkmanship. Here in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and let's start reading in verse 32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. At the doors means that Christ is going to be here very, very shortly, and that he is going to be setting up the kingdom of God. Surely I say to you, in verse 34, this generation shall by no means pass till all these things take place. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now let's drop on down to verse 36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, whenever Christ said this, he was talking to his disciples privately on the Mount of Olives. And at that point in time, none of them had the foggiest idea whenever Christ was going to return. But he says, you guys need to be observing what's going on. When you start seeing things happening, like what we've been talking about here in Matthew, the 24th chapter, you know that the time is real close. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. When then two men shall be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other one left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. And that's what we have to say here at this end time. We just have to day in, day out, keep enduring to the end, keep doing God's laws. You follow through with what God tells you in this Bible. You read it there. What you read here, you follow. You don't do what some man tells you to do. You do what God tells you to do. This is God's instruction book to mankind, to us here in this room. And that's what we need to follow. Let's drop back to verse 21 and 22. Of this same chapter, verse 24, or chapter 24. This is putting a disclaimer on everything that I have just said. And this is something that is important. We need to keep this in mind. Verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, never shall be. Now, of course, this time of great tribulation, what is that? That's the sixth seal that is starting the day of the Lord. And unless these days should be shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, these days will be shortened. So here we have then a disclaimer. God is telling us something. He said, I've given you the plan for Christ's return. We know from the 70 weeks prophecy, we know specifically when Christ came the first time. No question at all about that. That's history. It's the second coming of Christ. When Christ returns and sets up the government of God, that's what we're not for sure on. We can get pretty close. We can get in the ballpark. We're there. We can see the leaves changing on the trees. We know that the time is near. But like Christ said in verse 36, but of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. Let's go to one last scripture. Romans, the 9th chapter, verse 28. Romans, the 9th chapter, verse 28. This right here is what we've got to put as the disclaimer on any prophecy that anybody so understands about the return of Christ. It's talking, I'll just break into the story here in verse 28 of Romans, the 9th chapter. It says, he will finish the work and he will cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. So, now if we know, and if the church is accurate in our understanding, that week, the weekly Sabbath that has 6 days before it, and those 7 days all together references the 7,000-year plan that God has for the human family to eventually be part of the God family. If we understand that correctly, if our understanding of history is accurate, that it was 4,000 years up to the first coming of Christ, and we know that 2,000 years have now elapsed or will have elapsed by 2027, that altogether that's 6,000 years. So the only thing left is the millennium. That's that last day of the 7 days of the week, whenever Christ sets up the government of God. That's the last day. Now, if we know that that time frame is 2027, and if our keeping of history has been accurate, then we got about 11 and a half, 12 years left before the return of Christ. But he says nobody knows for sure exactly when that time is going to be. He says, I may cut it short. He's going to cut it short. So it may be 8 years. It may be 7 years. I don't know. Nobody knows. The only thing I know, and we can bet the house on it right now, is that Christ is going to be returning in the very, very, very near future. Boy, the bottom line is we don't know when Christ is going to return. But I think the advice that Mr. Armstrong gave many years ago would probably be applicable for us today. He said, expect Jesus Christ to come tomorrow, but work as if he's coming 100 years from now. I think that's good advice. I think that we should all apply that. Let's say that maybe Christ doesn't come for another 20, 30, 40 years. Maybe you'll be dead, you know. And you say, that rotten Larry Sharp, he didn't know squat about what the Bible's talking about. You know? You know, God's the one that makes all these things come to pass. But, you know, we can look at that 70-week prophecy. It's a toughie. But keep working on it. Keep trying to figure it out. Go by line by line. Like I said, I could have talked for another 2 or 3 hours about that. But anyway, the bottom line is that time is really, really short. Let's all keep that in mind as we go forward now for the fall holy day season.